start your day at the Turraway in North West London. Thursday, 12th of Teves, 5th of January. Runner-up of Paul Goldblatt Schlitter. Gezel Akum, Totus Akum, Avedus Akum, Anoas Akum. This week's Torah we have been sponsored, Refuah Shleima Shal Elior Ben Hendel, Nera Yoir. Shizke Refuah Shleima B'Kor Yisosh Or Chavir Shal Omei.
Amen. Okay, despite the intimidating title, we're not going to go through the whole of the sugya of Gezel Akum. I wanted to share a shayla this week, interesting shayla. And with that, we'll may understand a little bit of the aside of the Is of Gezel Akum, the difference between Gezel Akum and Toos Akum. First, I'll just introduce it with a caveat, which is that with all shaylas relating to financial interactions between Yidden and Goyim, besides the pure sugya of the halacha, we also have to bear in mind Dinat Malchus Adina and the potential Chilul Hashem and the opposite, the opportunity for Kiddush Hashem. And therefore, whatever we come out with, any shaila that comes up also has to consider those two things. Each one of the three considerations is enough to asa in and of itself. So even in those cases which we may learn our muta, it may well depend on Dinat Malchus Adina as well. And definitely, if there's a Chilul Hashem, that would mean that it's definitely asa anyway. So the shaila I received was as follows. The shaila was like this. Somebody had several months ago invoiced a non-Jewish company for some work that they'd done on their behalf, and they received a check in the post at the time. A month later, they received another check for the same amount, with a different date, but with the same invoice number written. So it was clear that the non-Jewish company had somehow forgotten to register that they'd already paid this debt, paid this invoice, and therefore they had sent a second check for exactly the same amount. Now this question of whether you can cash that check is an interesting insight into the aside of the difference between Gezel Akum and Toos Akum. We'll start off with the basics. So the basics is, the Gemara concludes, in Baba Kama Daf Kuf Yud Ches, that Gezel Akum is Asa, you're not allowed to steal from a Goy, Machloikas Rishonim if it's Midorais or Midrabonon, but that doesn't really make a difference. It's Asa to steal from a Goy, and that's clear and accepted, and no one disagrees with that. Also clear in the Gemara, that Toos Akum, if a goy mistakenly has given you something, then you do not need to tell him that he's made a mistake, you do not need to return it, even though had it been a yid, you would have to. But just like we find, famously, the Gemara says that, Pasuk really says that an aveda, if a goy loses an item, you do not have to return it, unless there's an opportunity for Kiddush Hashem or a chashash of Chilul Hashem, but if a goy loses an item, you don't have to return it. Similarly, if a goy mistakenly gives you something, although in a case of a yid you would be mechuyev to tell him about it and to return it because you don't have any right to keep that item, but with a goy you can. Rav Hirsch famously explains, my great-great-grandfather, Rav Shmuel Hirsch famously explains that this is not immoral, it's not wrong. The pshat is that legally and logically and morally, finders keepers, once you've lost an item, it's not yours anymore. Whether you know about it, whether there's yish, doesn't make any difference. If you lose an item morally, the finder is totally entitled to keep it, as has been the law in many different countries. And it's a chiddush hakra that there's a mitzvah to return something to a yid. So a goy who doesn't have that chiyuv himself of returning your lost items, you don't have to return his lost items, it's only an extra mitzvah between yidin. The same is true of oinor. The issa of oinor does not apply to goyim, b'isoinu esachicha. You're allowed to overcharge without the goy realizing it. Again, l'chayra for the same reason, that it's not immoral to overcharge, it's just a mitzvah of the Torah that you're not allowed to do that. Same with ribis and many such things. So similarly, Toos Akum is the same. Logically, if a goy, or logically, even if a yid gives you something mistakenly, but he had clear daf to give it to you, just it was on a mistaken assumption that you haven't told him about, logically, morally, ethically, in the halachas of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, where the goyim are mechuyev in Gezel, there would not be such a requirement to inform him of it. It's a chiddush. Chazal have told us that with reference to the halacha l'maisa between two yidden, you do have to tell him about it, but in a case of a goy, you do not have to, unless, as we've said, dinu malchus adina or chashash chilul Hashem. The only case where the Gemara says, famous Gemara in Baba Kama, that the two Sardiotim came from Roimi and they said that the Torah is completely moral and acceptable except for one case, that one case is when there's a distinction between a Yid damaging a Goy and a Goy damaging a Yid, and that's what they felt was incorrect. You can't say the Re'ehu is Mechayev, a Goy who damages a Yid, despite it, and describe it as Re'ehu, and not be Mechayev, a Yid who damages a Goy. You can't go both ways. But with these things, Aveda, Tos, Oinor, And ribis in any of these things, even though they're all types of gezel, the Gemara says in Bumat Sidav Samach Aleph, nevertheless, in all of these things, it works both ways. They can do it to us, we can do it to them, and there's clear rise for this, and therefore they're not included in the Issa of gezel. However, there's another Gemara in Chulin. Gemara in Chulin says that it's also lignov das habrias. You're not allowed to mislead someone in any way. You're not allowed to, if you bump into somebody, you misrepresent what you've done and pretend that you've come out specially to see him. If you pop in at a simcha, you can't, and you didn't even know who the last simcha was, you were just there for some other reason, you can't pretend you came specially. And the Gemara is mafurus that applies even to a goy. You're not allowed to be goynev das from a goy. You're not allowed to mislead him and trick him into doing something. Based on which, the Ramah says, the Rishonim say, that although tos akum, you're allowed to keep, if a goy mistakenly pays a debt, or if a goy, you owe a goy money and he forgets about it, you don't have to inform him, but for you to mislead him deliberately and cause him to mistakenly give you money, in that case, it's definitely asa, and although there are poskim who disagree with this, but famously the Ber HaGoyla says, we'll come back to this Ber HaGoyla later, but famously the Ber HaGoyla says that he's b'shem sefer chassidim, that he's seen many people who made fortunes out of tricking goyim into giving them money under false pretenses, and all of them lost that money, and they didn't do well out of it at all. And he continues with the amazing bracha that happens to somebody who causes a kiddush Hashem in this inyan. So I'll kapon in bottom line, halacha lemaisa, it's absolutely also to steal from a goy, it's also to trick a goy into giving you something which you're not entitled to. However, if a goy of his own volition comes and gives you something because he thinks he's supposed to, or if a goy loses something, leaves it in your house, or if you owe money to a goy and he's forgotten about it and he's not claiming it, in any of these cases, if there's no chashash that in the future there'll be chilun Hashem and there's no problem of dina malchus dina, you're not mechuyev to go and tell him and give back that money. You may be allowed to, mishum kiddush Hashem, but you're definitely not mechuyev to do so. The question in our case is that it's an unusual case that seems to fall in between these two the different categories. If somebody gives you a check, what has he given you? If somebody gives you a check, effectively what he's given you is an instruction to his bank to give you the money. In it, really, a banknote is the same thing. A banknote is an instruction to the Bank of England to give you, to give the bearer £5 of gold if he comes to the Bank of England to request it. But a banknote is already discussed in the poskim before banknotes even existed. There's something called a mamarni, which is mentioned in the Rishonim, which is an IOU, effectively, which a bond which could be transferred from one person to another. And there the poskim say that since this is this piece of paper is, practically speaking, transferable as legal tender. It may not be a banknote is, an IOU isn't, but you can just give it to the other person. It just says, I'll pay the bearer. Then in those cases, that is a shavah kesef. That itself is money. You can even make kinyonim with it, as shachin sim kuftzadi, and that's a sugya that's already dealt with. A check, however, is different, because a check says on it, the specific person who's allowed to cash the check, that person is allowed to go to the bank and ask the bank for so-and-so's money that's in his account, which is practically really a debt that the bank owes to that person. The bank is holding that person's money and will give it back to him whenever he wants and invest it until he asks for it. So that person has sent a message to his bank to give you that money. So if he gives you a check, he hasn't actually given you anything. What he's given you is the opportunity to go to his bank and get the money. So is that gezel akum or is it tos akum? Are you taking his money? Because when you go to the bank, you're getting money from his account, from the debt that the bank owes him, and therefore reducing the amount that he's entitled to in his bank account. Therefore, perhaps you could say it's gezeinu. Or is it tos akum? Because he's given you this and he's told you to go and bank it. So some have suggested, famously, Shem Zalman Auerbach and others, discussions in Matanis Levyonim, which I'm sure we've had before in this forum, about whether you can be yotze Matanis Levyonim with a check or with a charity voucher. Many recent Achronim have suggested that a check may also have the same status as a banknote or mamarni, because, practically speaking, you can give it to someone else. It's difficult, but a money changer will be able, or there are people who can take your check and bank it despite the fact that it's written in someone else's name, and so on. There are places who have suggested that that may be enough to be considered cash with various nafkaminas, matanis levyonim, kinyonim, and others. So one could consider who are din over here. If the goy has given you a check and you choose to bank it, you could in theory go and sell it to somebody if somebody else has a value to buy that check, and therefore l'chora you would consider that in this case he's already given you the item of value, the hein of the check, So just like if he'd given you cash, you'd be able to bank that cash. He'd given you a check, you can bank that check, just like you could give it to someone else. Chayra, this, however, is a mistake. Firstly, the poskim who said this probably didn't say it in this country, in Eretz Yisrael, where it used to be much easier to transfer checks from the person who's been identified as the recipient of the check. It used to be much easier over there. Definitely in this country, it's much more difficult. It's difficult to believe that Shem Zalman Oerbach and the other poskim who suggest that checks have the status of cash would have said it in this country. Besides that, l'chayra, the svara is not applicable in this case. For example, what would be the halacha if you find a check, an aveda, somebody lost a check, somebody's written an open check, let's say. Somebody's written an open check, you find it lying in the street, in a mokum where there's roiv akum, or in a situation where you know it's la'acha yush. A yid lost a check, right? You know the bank of the holder, even if there's a simon, you can find all the simonim you want. If it's a mokum of roiv akum, there's still yush because he doesn't expect an akum to give it back. So a mokum of roiv goyim, even if there's something with a simon, it's lost. So a yid who loses a check, loses an open check. Would anybody think that you're allowed to go and cash that check? Definitely not. Absolutely gzeila. If somebody's written a check and they lose that check, they're misyayish, and you find that check, you are definitely not allowed to bank it. That's poshut. If they lose a charity voucher, it's debatable, the charity vouchers that are more equivalent to cash. But a check, even the poskim who have suggested that a check has the status of cash in reference to all sorts of other halachas, because it can be used as cash and therefore it can even be transferred from hand to hand. But even in a place where that's true, nobody would suggest that because somebody has lost a check and been misyayish, that you can go and bank that check, that you can go and take £100 from his account because he's lost an open check that he signed with £100 on it without saying the name of the recipient. That's poshut. Now it's true that in Aveda there's another cheshbon, which is that in certain cases of chovus, there's a machlokas, there's a maharik, which the Ramah quotes in Simukov Samach Gimel. I'll deal with this quickly because it gets complicated. The maharik, in which the Ramah quotes in Simukov Samach Gimel, says about a case of when the tsar of the town had borrowed money from the kehillah, and then he decided he wasn't interested in paying them back, and the kehillah had long been misyayish. Then after he died, his almona convinced her son, the yorish, the heir to the title, to pay back the money to the kehillah. And the maharik was asked, how should they divide up the money that they were given? Should they divide it in exactly the same way as they contributed to the original loan, how the kehillah funds were nigveh from the members of the kehillah, which works depending on what they owned at that time, or should it be divided up like a matana that's given to the kehillah, which depends on people's needs, and that may have changed over the 30, 40, however many years it was in the interim? And Marik answers that since the kehillah was misyayish from the choiv no longer existed, and when it was given, it therefore was a matana, and that matana that was given should be divided according to the current status. And the poskim are marich about this, the tumim and the tzois and the nesivos, lots and lots of different discussions about whether Chacham Tzvi, whether the maharik is correct or not, that there's yush. But if there is yush on a chov, meaning that somebody who is misyayish, that he's never going to get his money back, automatically that chov is annulled, then there's another reason why an aveda of a check, even with yush, you wouldn't be allowed to cash it, because that money has already had a zchir, the bank has already been zoich in that money, it doesn't owe that person the money, and you're not entitled to go and take it. That's al kaponim in the case of aveda, another svara. But besides that, without coming onto the cheshbon of yush, it seems to be poshut that even those who say that a check has the status of cash would not say that if somebody loses a check, whether it's a yid or a goy, that you're allowed to go and cash that check, because that check was, even if it has a value, but to go and take the money from his account and directly take it from the money that he's owed by the bank, that definitely would be considered gzeila. You have this item of value, and in theory, if there's a market, maybe you can sell that item, which would be complicated, but to go and cash it, for sure not. So it's clear, l'chayra, that the argument that the check is cash, and therefore it's tos akum, to say that the case where the guy has given you the check by mistake is a tos akum, and you're allowed to go and cash it, l'chayra, that is a false argument.
Sorry, didn't understand why it's so poshut. Because
even if it has value, its value is not that money necessarily. It may be an item of value, but its value is not £100. And therefore, when you go and cash it and take £100, you're taking money from him that isn't yours.
It's an open check.
Even if it's an open check without a recipient there, those who suggest that it's cash, it's still pashtus, just an instruction. Even those who suggest it's an item of value, those who say that its value is £100. And therefore, if you go and exchange that for £100, you're taking money from him that you're not entitled to.
You're talking about the extra, the difference between what it could be
worth. Yeah, look, I don't know if they would say it anyway, in this country. But I think, yes.
Would it be the same as a £100 voucher, an open voucher?
Vouchers are a bit more complicated because vouchers are mummish used to change, used between different people to change. Very often the recipient is not going to be cashing it, even if you put the name on it. It's a bit different. Also, another question, which is that vouchers, the trust doesn't actually owe you any money. Legally, the trust doesn't owe you that money. They just happen to voluntarily be willing to fulfill your instructions, and therefore the voucher is probably really legally not worth anything because they can just turn around and say no if they want to. They probably won't, but they can. That's a question when you took someone who differently, do you have to tell them afterwards? Because then it's already only a question of a private program, which you'd have pashas don't have to tell them. It's Nasir Sumin. So the argument that the check itself is cash definitely wouldn't seem to apply in this country, and probably even the person who said it, who used to say it in Eretz Yisrael, wouldn't apply to this case. There's a second consideration. Pardon?
I just wondered how you know whether Goy has lost an item. If you leave something somewhere, you haven't lost it. You're going to go back the following day.
That depends on the Matthias, yes. So the poskim say that if you suspect that the Goy knows where it is and is planning to come back, then that's not called lost and you're not allowed to take it.
It should be general rule, it shouldn't take anything that belongs to the Goy.
You can often tell from the Matthias whether it's lost or not. If it's been put down in a...
certainty?
I don't know, 100%, but relatively, yeah.
100% certainty.
I don't know if you need 100%. It could be worth it.
Put it on the wall somewhere. It's going to come back.
If he put it down on a table intending to come back, and you think he hasn't yet come back, then definitely you would not be allowed to take it. That's an asivus in the book of Zaveda. But if on the face of things it looks like it's just been left there and forgotten, then you would. Same considerations with the Yid after Yirush. In Yirush we see that you can rely on Roiv in many cases. You don't have to be 100%. If a Yid has lost something, not everybody who loses something where most people who find it wouldn't give it back is Messiah, but most people are, and that's enough for us to rely on.
You have responsibility of returning it.
That depends. If there's been a Yirush, you don't. If he's already given up hope of getting it back, and you don't need to be 100% certain that he's all right. Second argument that was presented when we discussed this in the Chabura was that we know from the sugya that somebody who is soyrif shtaroisov shel chaveri, somebody who burns someone else's shtar chov, which means that the person will never be able to get the money that he is owed, that is a discussion in the Gemara of Garmi. Rav Meir, who says that Garmi is chayev, you have to pay. It's not a mazik biyodayim, it's a Garmi, which is causing an ezek. In a case, Garmi is chayev, but Garmi is only chayev midrabonon. Some Rishonim hold only chayiv if you intended to cause damage. There are differences between Garmi and Nezik. So some people wanted to suggest that just like burning someone else's shtoris is called Garmi, and there's a machlokes if Garmi applies to a goy, if you're allowed to cause damage through Garmi to a goy. If it's only drabonon for a yid, perhaps it was never applied to a goy. So perhaps taking money from a bank where all you're doing is stopping him from getting that debt that he would otherwise have got. The bank has on its register a certain amount of money. You're reducing that amount. What you're actually taking from him is that the bank will not give him the money when he comes back for it. All you're really doing is being soyrif his shtar. All you're doing is stopping him from getting the money that he was owed. This again, however, l'chayr is an error, because soyrif shtaroisov, the debt is still in existence. All you've done is take away the tool, the mechanism, by which he would have got the debt. The loiver, if he admits he owes the money, is mechuyev to pay the money. In this case, the bank will correctly say, no, we don't owe you anything. The person brought a check legitimately. Now, you're saying that check was a mistake. That's your business. That's not our business. And therefore, you're actually directly taking money away from him. It's not a garmi question. It's a gneva or mazik question, which are osa even from a goy. So these two svaras, the svara that the check itself is a cash item, an item of value, is lechuyev not correct. And the suggestion that cashing a check is not gneve, it's only garmi, which may or may not be muti in a case of taking it from a goy, is also lechayra incorrect. Lemaisa la'alocha, this seems to be a machlokes of poskim. Rav Eliashiv is quoted as having said that it's osa to cash this check. But if somebody receives a check betos, you're not allowed to cash it because the check itself is not the payment of the debt. Cashing the check is taking the person's money, and taking that person's money is l'chora osa. That was the psak that is quoted b'shem Rav Eliashiv in various svarim, people who claim they asked him, whatever. That's what Rabbi Yashi said, that you're not allowed to bank the check. So I discussed it with the Choshev Adayin in Yitzchol, Mechabas Chaim Fish Mishpat, and he said to me that he doesn't understand that tzad. He believes that it's absolutely mutter. And he said as follows. If a goy holds his hand out to you and says, I owe you this money, here's the cash, are you allowed to take the cash?
But you know it's not.
You know he doesn't owe you anything. Of course that's Tol Sakum. Tol Sakum doesn't only mean if he has put the money in your house and you're already holding it. If he holds it out to you and says, here's the money, taking that money from his hand because he told you to take it, that's not Gezalakum, that's taking advantage of his tolls. You're taking it from him upon his instruction. Similarly, if a business says that they owe you money, so the shopkeeper says he owes you money, and he says, help yourself to anything you want from the shop, and you won't have to pay. And you know it's a mistake. You know he doesn't owe you a penny. You remember that he paid you last week, and he's forgotten. He thinks he owes you. Not that you've misled him. That would be tolsakum. That would be hatoyasakum, which is also, like we said, it's kanilas das. But he thinks he owes you the money, and he says, go help yourself to something from the shelves. Are you allowed to do that? So he said to me, of course you are. That's the same as if he held it out to you. He held out his hand with the money. You put your hand into his hand to take that money. Of course that's tolsakum. Taking it from the shelf, he says it's the same. So he wanted to say that cashing a check is the same thing. The goy has said to you, I'm giving you this check to pay the debt that I believe I owe you, which you know he's mistaken about. You are following his instructions because he told you to go and bank the check. He said to me, he doesn't understand it. I don't think he ever knew that Rabbi Yashiv said this, but he doesn't understand that tzad that should be asa. L'chor it's poshut, in his opinion, that you are allowed to bank the check. I found that afterwards, I have a sefer at home with the very snappy title of Hachek Bahalocha, a very complicated two-volume sefer, actually written by the brother-in-law of that dayan, where he presents this svara. He says that because the goy is trying to give you the cash, you're allowed to go and take it, even if it's your action of going and banking it that takes it from his account, because he's giving you the instruction, you're allowed to do that. He's not certain about it, he remains basafik, and he wants to say that there's a chiluk. He says, if a guy thinks he owes you £200, and he really owes you 100, and he's given you a cheque, of course you're allowed to bank it, because you have to bank it for the 100. No one's going to give you only 100, so then it's posher to him. It's not 100% certain, but it's more likely that you can take on this svara that you're following the guy's instruction, and therefore it's tolls rather than gezel. If, however, he gave you two checks for the same amount, then he's less sure about it. So, because in that case, once you've banked one check, the guy's instruction maybe doesn't really apply to the second check, he's less sure. So, lemaisa, it seems that we have a machloikus. Rabbi Yashiv is quoted as having said that it's osa, that it's gezelakum, possibly midoraisa, according to Rishonim, hold it's gezel, because the check that you were given is not an item of value, at least in this context. It's something that gives you the capacity to go and get his money. So that is Asa. And the Dayanim that I spoke to in Eretz Yisrael said that they believe that it's Mutter. It's no worse than taking something from his shop on his instruction or from his hand on his instruction, and it's the same. And therefore it would be Mutter. And in the Sefer Check Bahalocha, he's Masupik about this and suggests a chiluk between if it's one check for a greater amount or two checks for the same amount. Another question that comes up very, very often, which l'chor is a similar machloikus, is the question of when a goy mistakenly is undercharging you. Now, if you go to a shop and a goy tells you, you have to pay me a smaller amount, but of course, even if it has a mistake, again, assuming no chilul Hashem, assuming din v'lo hasadin is not relevant over here, you would be allowed to take advantage of that, that's fine. What about a case of when you know that the machine in Tesco is not charging for a certain item, and you weren't going to buy that item anyway? You know that. You weren't going to buy whatever the item is, but someone told you that that machine, if you scan this item, is going to undercharge you or not charge you at all. Or, very often happens, with websites. Famously, about probably 10 years ago now, United Airlines, they had a problem with the currency conversion, and if you put in that you wanted to pay in krona, in Danish krona, it would charge you only an eighth of the price. And many people went ahead and booked, and this happens the whole time. Glitches on websites happen the whole time. Are you allowed to take advantage of a glitch? Or, let's say a different question. If a guy leaves his shop unlocked, are you allowed to walk in and take the stuff, take the stock? Definitely not. That's gezelakum. So are you allowed to go onto his website and buy something which you know that the programmer has mistakenly put in that he shouldn't be charging for? Is that the same as walking into the shop or not?
Or the wrong price.
Or the wrong price, undercharging, whatever. Is that mutter or is it osa? So at the time, when the United Airlines glitch happened, because that was when it became a big discussion, but it happens the whole time, these glitches on websites, I argued that mimonav shach. The lawyers of the companies and the lawyers of the customers argue every single time. There was a class action lawsuit then, I don't know what happened with it, but the lawyers always argue about it. Are they obligated to fulfill the price that they've offered? So the company lawyers claim, no, it's a mistake.
Even if you didn't know it was a mistake, we don't have to fulfill that. The contract was itself in error. We mistakenly offered you a price that wasn't correct. And others have suggested, other lawyers have suggested that no, by buying it at that price, there's a contract. If by buying it at that price, there's a contract, legally they're required to fulfill it. So I argued
they
at the time that...
They have on their website a statement, please...
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah. So at the time I argued, Mimonavshach, if legally they have to fulfill it, then it can't be Gneva for you to buy it. It can't be Gezalakum for you to put a guy in a position where he's giving you something he doesn't want to. If he's offered it to you at that price, and legally he has to pay it if you sign the contract, it may depend... If he, in theory, if he knew that you knew about it, then he wouldn't have to. That would change things. But if... Legally, he's mechuyev to fulfill the contract, it cannot be gezel. If he's legally not mechuyev to fulfill the contract...
Even if the price is there, it's a good price, even if it's a wrong price, they must...
They say not. The companies all say it's not true. The companies all say it's not true. United Airlines at the time refused to give it out. And lots of cases where it happens, where the companies say, as a gesture, we will let you take it, but we don't think that we're...
The law isn't that either. The law also says quite clearly that if it's an error that's... Quite obviously an error.
If it's obviously an error.
It's great.
Yeah. And so I said Mimonavshach.
What's the halacha in a regular paper contract where there's a mistake in the sum? There's a zero missing or something.
Depends on the mistake. No, so sometimes if it's not an obvious mistake, it's a you say that he should have read the contract. But in a website, then who's responsible? A lot of these things are subcontracted to other companies, and therefore the question is who's responsible for the mistake. If the company itself is not responsible for the mistake, then that can change the law. But you have to speak to a lawyer, really, not me.
Would it be the same if I've got a cake written £5 and they charge me £10? I said, why? It's £5. I said, no, it's a mistake.
But that's before you've even paid for it. If you've taken it and then they invoice you, then you would not have to pay for it. But if you haven't taken it, they can change the price now. So they're the definite.
My trolley.
Yeah, but trolley, that's not a Kenyan. That's not a Kenyan. You haven't yet been coined. Until you've gone there and you've told them you want to pay,
I have to pay first.
Once you've paid, in a case of when you haven't yet bought it, it's definitely not going to be better. So I argued at the time, Mimonavshach, if they're legally they have to fulfill the contract, it can't be Gneva. If legally they don't have to, and they offer it as a gesture anyway, so what have you done? You've just put yourself in a situation where they'll feel guilty if they don't give you something. That's also not Gneva. Problem is, what happens in a case of when they won't notice? And people did this at the time with United Airlines, more common with other online glitches, but even with the airline, people did this. They booked tickets for that afternoon and they flew before the company realized that the mistake that had happened. In that case, is it mutter or not? So many dayanim that I spoke to at the time said to me, what, not everybody, but many presented a very similar svara to what we're saying here. They said that had you wanted to buy this item, had you wanted to buy that ticket, you would have gone onto the website, you would have called the company, and they would have said, go onto our website and buy it. You would have gone onto the website, and lo and behold, you'd discover that it's charging you an eighth of the price. That wouldn't be a problem. So all you're doing is what the guy would tell you to do if you would call up and say, I want to buy it. That cannot be Gezel Akum. Again, Din Mechusadina, Chil Hashem, that's separate questions. But with regard to our sugya, the sugya of Gezel Tos, Aveda Oino, in that sugya, it's not Hatoyas Akum, it's not Gnevas Das Akum, and it's not, they suggested, many dayanim that suggested, that it's not Gezel Akum either. If you would somehow mislead the goy into giving you a false price, of course it would be Asa. But when you're doing this, all you're doing is choosing to go to the product which you know is going to give you a false price, then although you're going and taking the item from him, you're not being Goyzel, because you're doing what he wanted, you're doing what he told you, would have told you to do had you asked him, and therefore it would not be Gezel Akum.
You would ask him, he wouldn't have told you to go and purchase in a different currency.
Okay, if you would have said I'm from Denmark, he would, and that's not a good, not not a gezel
akum. Yeah,
it happened to be Danish. I'm not saying because of lemaisa. So halacha lemaisa, in our case of the check, it seems to be a machloikas. Can you bank the check or not? Besides, again, din machosadin echad Hashem. There's anyway a machloikas. Is it gezel or taking advantage of a toast to go and bank a check for the guy who's giving you an error? In the case of an online glitch, it seems to be more accepted among the dayanim that I spoke to. I didn't find anything earlier about this, that you are allowed to take advantage of it, because in that case, it's definitely clearer that if legally they have to fulfill it, like some people are saying, then anyway it's not a question. But even if they don't, and you're doing it before they can work out that you're taking the item, still all you're doing is not a gezel, it's taking something that he would have told you to take had you asked him. I just want to finish off with the famous Ber HaGoyla. We'll read it inside. The Ber HaGoyla says, he brings from the Sefer Hasidim that people who, that he knows many people who made fortunes out of being Mate Akum, which as we've said, the Ramos is absolutely Arthur, and it all went Latimyoin, and they all went to nothing, they all gained nothing from it. But then he adds on another point, which is less well known, Raisi Rabin Godlu Veher Shirum in Tos Shehitu Vaakum, Veloy Hitzlichu, they were not successful, the Yordi Yosem Litimrim, Vehenichu Achreim Brocha, and they left absolutely nothing for the Yorshim, Mesh Gosu Sifra Sidim. But then he concludes with another point which is less well known, Rabbi Mashekitchu Hashem Verziru Ta'u Yosakum, which Lechoyer is saying, even if they were not Mata the Akum, and there wasn't a Chilul Hashem, and there wasn't a problem with Mapazdina, they were absolutely not Mechoyer, but they chose to make the Kiddush Hashem of giving it back, in those cases, Godlu Veheshiru Vehitzlichu Venichu Yisrael Lalehem, and therefore the maila of even when you're not mechuyav, creating kiddush Hashem, if it's possible, by informing the person that it's a mistake and that you're not going to take advantage of it, that is something that is definitely worthwhile, as he concludes over here, and therefore, despite the whole sugya, you have to make your decision based on that. Yeah.